Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Off to America, Simon Marks is LBC's Washington correspondent, and he is on the line now. Hello, Simon.
Good evening, Nick.
I hear that Donald Trump has renamed the Education Department the Department for Stupid.
Anything could happen, but they've now chiselled the word defence off the Secretary of Defence's office suite at the Pentagon, because it is now, of course, called the Department of War, and very quickly after doing that. And by the way, this is going to cost billions to make this name change, because they don't just have to chisel a sign off the door at the Pentagon. They've got to change the name everywhere that it appears, at every military facility, not just all over the United States, but all over the world. So this is a very costly move by a government that is supposed to be focused on the need to trim public expenditure. Certainly they were when Elon Musk was running the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, but he, of course, has now fled the coup. This has been accompanied, this move, by real questions about the extent to which Donald Trump is engaging in more than simply renaming the Department of Defense and returning it to its former name, the Department of War, by which it was known all the way through until 1949 and the end of the Second World War. I mean, what is in a name here could be not very much, or it could be a real indication by the president that he wants to start waging war. And certainly on his social media feed yesterday, we saw, I think, without question, the most intemperate posting that he's ever made on social media. And that's saying something. A warning to the people of Chicago that the Windy City will soon discover why it is now called the Department of War. He said on that social media post, "I love the smell of deportations in the morning." And it was accompanied by imagery in which Donald Trump was threatening to bring what he referred to as a Chicopalypse to the streets of Chicago. And that's just what he's planning to do here at home. He also is sounding increasingly bellicose towards Venezuela and the Trende Aragua gang there, but also towards Venezuela's government and President Nicolas Maduro. So, you know, it's perfectly possible that within the next couple of weeks, we could see an escalation of military presence on the streets of American major cities, and an escalation of military assaults on those Trende Aragua drug traffickers, and even potentially on targets on Venezuelan soil.
Yeah, that poster, well, no, it wasn't a poster, but the image that accompanied that that threat to the people of Chicago was almost directly lifted from Apocalypse Now, wasn't it?
Yes,
and Trump's face was put on Robert Duvall's body as he crouched down at that moment where he said, you smell that, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. And in the background, Chicago is on fire. I mean,
yes.
This is...
I mean, it's mad.
It's completely insane.
Yes.
And, you know, I talk to American journalists, and I just get the feeling they haven't grasped what's going on here, because they seem to bend themselves into pretzel shapes trying to make this normal. And I almost want to reach through the phone line and shake them by the lapels and tell them to wake up, because this is a coup happening in front of their faces, and they're still trying to make this square peg fit in the round hole of normalcy. But it just doesn't.
No, I encounter that all the time here, not just in terms of the response to what's taking place from American journalists and American broadcast networks, but also from, people that I know, Americans that I know and that I've been friends with for a very long time here in Washington and in other parts of the country. There is, I think, a failure to grasp the pace with which things are changing and the inability for many of these changes to be reversed. Now, if you look at the change of the name from the Department of Defense to the Department of War, of course, on the first day, the next Democrat, if there is one, returns to the Oval Office, they can instantly override that presidential proclamation that Donald Trump issued, and we can go through the whole palaver of renaming the Department of Defense the Department of War. But the process of putting generals in place at the Pentagon who are not sycophants and aligned with the president's military strategic thinking. Remember that Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, has audited all of these generals to make sure that their viewpoints are, from Donald Trump's perspective, politically sound. And we've seen a whole host of leading military figures shown the door because they weren't considered to be politically sound. We saw Donald Trump in the Oval Office last week indicating that this change was going to allow America to win more wars. And he said that America had not won wars in the past because what he referred to as wokery had invaded the upper echelons of the Pentagon. Now, who knew that President Richard Nixon was suffering from wokery and that US forces found themselves in a quagmire in Vietnam because of diversity, equity and inclusivity? But that is the argument that Donald Trump is advancing. And how you reverse all of this stuff, you know, from the leadership of the Pentagon to restoring the U.S. Agency for International Development, now completely shuttered, how you give American media outlets that have bent the knee, CBS News agreeing to put a bias monitor in the newsroom to make sure that nothing goes on the air that's going to offend President Trump's sensibilities. How do you turn that back? It's going to be absolutely impossible.
Yes, and it's where this is going as well. It's not just the it of it, because, you know, changing it to the Department of War, that's just to own the libs, regardless of how much it costs. They don't care, you know, just as long as somebody else is suffering more than they do, you know, according to his cult fans. It's where is it going? And I'll make a prediction that he's going to cancel maybe the midterm elections, but certainly the one after that, the main national election, because of a state of emergency that he will engineer entirely of his own. He's going to he'll stop mail-in voting because that is mostly used by people who vote Democrat, and he will station his ICE goons outside voting booths in areas that vote Democrat and just pull random people out of the crowd and bundle them into unmarked vans and drive away with them, thereby making it highly unlikely that anybody will take the risk of going out and voting. I think that it's not something that might happen in the future. It's happened already. America Yes. has fallen to a painted clown off the telly.
Look, I just on the mail-in voting issue, he's actually got a bit of a problem with Republicans on that because they think this is not necessarily a great idea for them. I mean, that decision to move the headquarters of the Space Force from Colorado to Alabama, he said one of the reasons for doing that was that they had mail-in voting in Colorado, and he intimated that they didn't have it in Alabama, but in fact they absolutely have it in Alabama and Republicans have taken great advantage of it there. But more broadly, what you're laying out is exactly what this move to deploy force on the streets of Chicago is all about. This is all about a plan to declare a national public security emergency. You know, he claims that ever since the Department of National Guard troops have been deployed here on the streets of Washington, D.C., there is now no crime in Washington. That is complete nonsense. But he continues to make this case for there being a crime emergency in Chicago, in New York, where he was roundly booed at the U.S. Tennis Open just within the last few hours, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in Baltimore, in Oakland. And he's already shown that in a whole host of other areas, he only wants to govern through emergency declarations. The tariffs were imposed as an emergency that was an end run around Congress. His decision to send troops to Los Angeles back in June to deal with tiny pockets of protests against his mass deportations, that was an emergency move. He wants to govern through a declaration of a state of emergency. And I think that if he finds that Republicans are facing defeat in midterm elections in November of next year, it is perfectly feasible to imagine him declaring a national emergency and saying, I'm really sorry, the situation in the country is too febrile, it's too brittle, it's too dangerous. Even if it isn't, we can't possibly go ahead with elections. I think that is a real possibility now.
Well, I wish you'd get it into the minds of American journalists, because they still seem to cling to the idea that rules and regulations yes. will win out, that, oh, yep. he can't do that because it's against the law, or he can't do this because it's against the Constitution. Wake up. He's yep. not remotely interested in any of that.
As you often say, Nick, it's later than you think.
It is later than you think. Good to talk to you, Simon, as always.
Cheers, Nick.
Thanks for that. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent.